Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Chores. We're talking some Packers football this morning. It's free agency. It is wild. Not just in Green Bay, but all over the NFL. Probably more so other places in the NFL. But there's a lot of things to talk about regarding the Green Bay Packers, regardless whether they've signed anybody or not. And the possibility is still open that they may. But yeah, it just a wild time. I mean, all the action that happened yesterday, you know, from signings and guys being cut and you name it and visits and wow, there's everything's going on in the NFL right now. But let's talk about it from a Packers perspective. And I suppose we got to start with, you know, the biggest name in free agency as it's attached to the Packers, and that's wide receiver Greg Jennings. You know, this, the writing's been on the wall for such a long time regarding Greg Jennings. Not that he's necessarily going to leave, but I mean, I can remember back during the season. It was during the Packers bye week. If you remember back a couple months to the Packers bye week, well, the Packers have some time off. So what did Greg Jennings go do? He went and did like every talk show on ESPN. Remember, there was a Tuesday where he did that. And like every question was about him becoming a free agent. This has just been like such a build up to this the whole time. It's crazy. So, anyway, I mean, it's been known Greg Jennings is going, you know, was going to be a free agent. It was known he was going to test the free agent waters. And now free agency finally starts, and there's not a whole lot to report. Not a whole lot of interest in Greg Jennings. You know, the news of the day in the NFL, one of the bigger stories was that, you know, fellow wide receiver Mike Wallace had signed with the Miami Dolphins, and it had been speculated that Greg Jennings might go to Miami because of the obvious connection between him and former offensive coordinator Joe Philbin, who's now the head coach at South Beach. But, to me, it's a no-brainer that Mike Wallace was the more coveted free agent. He's 3 years younger. It makes sense to me. Not to say that Jennings is chopped liver, but, I knew he wasn't going to get a deal in the same realm as Mike Wallace. So Wallace is off the market, and now Greg Jennings is the top wide receiver available. And he, of course, wants as much money as possible. You can't blame Greg Jennings for wanting that. I would, too. But I don't think there's a whole lot of teams out there that are going to be willing to pay Greg Jennings in excess of the $12-plus million he's hoping to get. You know, the word is, I saw Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com tweet this out, that the Packers had offered before free agency began. I don't know when this happened. It was maybe even during the season or, you know, immediately after the season. It's been a few months now since the season ended that the Packers offered Greg Jennings a deal around $10 million a year. And I don't know how many years that's for. That was not disclosed. I mean, that, of course, is also an important part of the equation. But it'd be interesting to see if Greg Jennings can still get a deal worth around that amount of money. You know, the Packers may have said, you know, hey, Greg, here's our offer around $10 million a year. If you don't accept this now, it's off the table. You know, we're not going to pay you $10 million anymore. Maybe the Packers are willing to get involved for $8 million a year, something a little bit more reasonable. And that could be what happened. You know, again, just my speculation here. just going from what I've heard, what I've seen. You know, one of the suitors for Greg Jennings thought to be the division rival Minnesota Vikings. Another report yesterday from Tom Pelissero, the former Packers beat writer at the Green Bay Press Gazette, now at, what is the URL? ESPNTwinCities.com. Got to make these things so complicated. I can't keep track of all the affiliates and organizations and all that. But he says that the Vikings are not actively pursuing Greg Jennings. He posted that on Twitter. And, reading between the lines, is that because Greg Jennings' contract demands are too big? Evan on our live blog says, if he comes back for around $8 million a year, fantastic. $10 million is a little steep, in my opinion. Jamie agrees with them. So there you go. Would you take Greg Jennings back at $8 million a year? You know, the likelihood that Greg Jennings returns gets greater with each passing hour. You know, he was thought to be one of the top free agents in this year's class. You know, he still is, no doubt about it. He wasn't at the very top, obviously. But, you know, Greg Jennings is still a good wide receiver and still can help a team. But the fact that he didn't sign the type of contract that Mike Wallace did right at the start of free agency indicates there's maybe not as much interest in Greg Jennings as he thought or he perceived, or at least at the amount of money he was hoping for. So, I mean, the Packers obviously probably want him back. You know, they just want him back at a price that's manageable. The price that doesn't kill their salary cap. The price that still allows them to be competitive with other people. And, you know, the amount of years Greg Jennings wants, is obviously a factor, too. If he's going to get $8 million a year, he'd probably rather sign with a team that gave him a five-year contract at $8 million a year, as if the Packers only, you know... if they only offered three at $8 million, well, he's going to take the five-year deal. You know, so that's a factor, too. And I have to imagine the Packers not wanting to offer Greg Jennings a five-year deal. You know, they probably want to be around 2 to 3. I think Greg Jennings is going to want a contract that, you know, gives him at least 3, you know. He wants a little bit of security. So who's going to give him that? You know, like I said, the longer things go and he doesn't sign with anyone, the more likelihood that Greg Jennings returns to the Packers. You know, he could be, the Packers could give him a deal that's very similar range to other teams in the NFL. And if all other things are being equal, yeah, he's probably going to come back. He's probably going to, go with the surroundings he's familiar with, the environment he's familiar with, the quarterback he's familiar with, the coaching staff he's familiar with. I mean, all these factors kind of point to Greg Jennings being, or the Packers being the leader in the clubhouse among targets for Greg Jennings. So, we'll be interesting to see how things all shake out. But, you know, if Greg Jennings comes back, if the Packers happen to sign anyone, if they were to sign Steven Jackson, they're going to have to make some room for him. You know, they've got all this money invested into, you know, future money invested into Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews. Not to mention, as pointed out in an article in today's Milwaukee Journal, the amount of money that's going to take to sign this year's draft choices, which will take about $5 million. The amount of money they just sunk into their restricted free agents, Sam Shields and Evan Dietrich Smith. The amount of money it might take to resign Tom Crabtree and Rob Francois. You know, these things all factor into how much the Packers can afford to pay people. And if they want to sign Greg Jennings, well, Packers going to have to make some room. And there's two obvious places the Packers can make room. One is to restructure a contract with A.J. Hawk, although that doesn't have to come immediately. And the other would be doing something with tight end JerMichael Finley and his $8-plus million salary cap figure. You know, and there's multiple things the Packers could do with Finley, either cut him or trade him. Either way, you know, it's there's ways for the Packers to make money, but they probably have to do that in order to bring back Greg Jennings. And you know what? I'm all favor of that. If somebody just asked me again, all things being equal, who would you rather have, Greg Jennings or JerMichael Finley? I'm going with Greg Jennings. Little older, I realize, but you know, my opinion here on JerMichael Finley, of course, is, you know, is well documented. I think the Packers should move on without him. So, you know, that's my opinion. So there's your Greg Jennings update for the day. You know, the other news regarding the Packers, I think another big name is free agent running back Steven Jackson. You know, Pro Football Talk came out with a report yesterday. I don't know if you want to call it a report. Was it just a tweet? Maybe it was a report. Maybe they actually made a post on it. I don't know. That the Packers are... what was the verbiage Mike Florio used? That they're interested in Steven Jackson? That they're a major player? That they're the leader in the clubhouse? I'm not sure the exact, you know, words used, a direct quote. But that was the gist of it. And that kind of caught people by surprise, being like, really? Like, the leaders? You know, the Packers are going to dole out, you know, what's it going to take to sign Steven Jackson? You know, $5 million a year? That's still a pretty steep price for, you know, I got nothing against Steven Jackson. I like him as a running back. He's getting a little bit old for my liking, but I still think, you know, he is a viable candidate at the least. Jamie just passed along here. Pro Football Talk just tweeted, Packers want Steven Jackson on the cheap. And you know, that's no different than the report Tom Silverstein of JS Online had. Probably, you know, beating Pro Football Talk to that punch. From everything I've heard and I've read, it seems like the Atlanta Falcons are the team that wants Steven Jackson the most and maybe the best fit. But they, of course, don't want to pay a ton either. And Tom Silverstein lays this all out. You know, if there is really minimal interest from the Packers, you know, it could just be a case of an agent trying to drive up the price tag in order to get Jackson as much as possible. So, you know, it is what it is. I think the Packers would be interested in Steven Jackson if the price tag were low, meaning we're talking like $3 million a year, you know, in that range. Is that, I don't know the interest out there aside from perhaps the Falcons and the Packers and how much Steven Jackson could get. I really don't know what else is out there in the NFL for him. I mean, and how long do you sign Steven Jackson to a contract? How long? You know, I can't imagine the Packers wanting to invest any more than 2 years into Steven Jackson. You know, beyond that, well, I mean, he's getting really old at the end of 2 years. So what's he going to get out there? That is a tough one to gauge, how much Steven Jackson is going to command on the free agent market. It's as good a guess as anybody's. Evan says on the live blog, he says, I like the idea of Hillis replacing Kuhn. Thoughts on that? Yeah, of course, other news coming out of yesterday, the free agent frenzy, was that Peyton Hillis will be making a visit to the Green Bay Packers. Nothing imminent, but he'll be making a visit. This, of course, is the guy who 2 seasons ago had rushed for, or is that 3 seasons ago now, technically? But it rushed for over 1,000 yards with the Cleveland Browns. And has kind of been on the downturn since then. Remember, didn't Peyton Hillis actually make it onto the cover of the Madden video game? Wasn't that a big deal a couple of years ago? And, there's kind of this, you think of Peyton Hillis and his 1,000 yards being a featured rusher, but I don't think the Packers are looking at him like that. I think just as, you know, that article suggested that Evan brought up, you know, that the Packers could be looking at Peyton Hillis as replacing John Kuhn, perhaps. A fullback slash halfback. A guy who can play fullback and then also fill in at the halfback spot if needed. Or be a guy in one running back sets. You know what? That does make sense to me. You know, John Kuhn has a fairly large contract. What is it? Does somebody want to bring up John Kuhn's contract on the live blog? Paying him several million dollars a year for what is just adequate production? And I'd be all in for, you know, having another guy like that on the roster who's perhaps, I think Peyton Hillis is younger, right? He's got to be younger than John Kuhn. You know, he's got far less snaps in him. But here we go. Jamie brings it up. In 2011, Kuhn signed a 3-year, $7.5 million contract. So that pays him, on average, in excess of $2 million a year. Well, if the Packers can get Peyton Hillis for in excess of $1 million a year, you know, maybe half the contract of a John Kuhn, that'd be pretty good. Says Hillis just turned 27. There you go. I like it. But again, I mean, can you keep both John Kuhn and Peyton Hillis on the roster? I don't think the Packers are looking at Peyton Hillis as being a starting halfback, the guy who's going to carry the ball a lot. Maybe if they really like DeJuan Harris, they can be the thunder and lightning combo. You know, the guys who each bring a little something to the table. Hillis brings the power. DeJuan Harris brings the quickness. Maybe. I don't really know what the Packers are thinking there. That's what makes this so fun, is to speculate about these kind of things, right? I think it's intriguing. I'm all about signing Peyton Hillis if it doesn't kill your salary cap. But then again, you also have to factor into the equation the compensatory draft choices. And here is maybe the most interesting thing to come out of yesterday. Linebacker Eric Walden signing with the Indianapolis Colts, and that alone is surprising enough. But when you see the amount of money Eric Walden commanded, oh my goodness. It came into my mind yesterday, and I tweeted this out yesterday. You know how everybody gets their dad, the t-shirt or the coffee mug that says, world's number one dad? Well, I think Eric Walden just bought his agent a t-shirt or a coffee mug that says, world's number one agent. 4 years, $16 million for Eric Walden. This is the guy who just 1 year prior signed a 1 year contract worth $700,000 with the Packers. 1 year, less than $1 million. Now he gets 4 years, $16 million. And again, there's different ways the Colts could have structured this contract, so it'd pays them a little bit in the beginning and pays them more at the end. So, you know, they could easily cut him after a couple years if things don't work out and not have to pay him nearly as much money as $16 million might indicate. But, I mean, you know, Zach Cruz pointed it out in our blog post here at CheeseheadTV.com. He's been ranked as the league's worst 3-4 outside linebacker among those who play regularly in the NFL. So we will give Walden credit for that. There are guys who don't play regularly that are not as good as Eric Walden. But among regular players, he's been the worst for 2 years running at ProFootballFocus.com. Rated as the worst. 2 years running. You know, if you watch the Packers games, you know, you know that Eric Walden has flashed brilliance at times, but can't be a consistent player.
In fact, let's all thank Eric Walden right now for his 3-sack performance in the 2010 must-win regular season finale, week 17 against the Chicago Bears, when he sacked Jay Cutler 3 times. You remember that? This was the Super Bowl year, folks. The Packers had to win that week 17 game against the Bears. Had to even qualify for the playoffs. Walden has 3 sacks. He's named the NFL's Defensive Player of the Week. Huge performance. That's been the highlight of Eric Walden's career. Part of the reason the Packers won the Super Bowl. They had to win that game to even qualify for the playoffs. Eric Walden earned his Super Bowl ring with that game. So thanks for that, Eric. Unfortunately, since that game, it's been all downhill from there. And again, he's flashed good things. He'll play good for a game and then bad for two. He'll get a sack here and there, but I mean, you know, what's 4 or 5 sacks a year? You can get that from anybody on the street. You can get that from some rookie. So, you know, that Eric Walden just isn't all that good. I have no clue why the Colts paid him that much money. And I realize the Colts have a need at outside linebacker. You know, aren't they switching to the 3-4 now with the, or did they this past year? Whatever. Anyway, they have a need for a 3-4 outside linebacker. I find it weird that the first choice was Eric Walden. He signed on the first day of free agency. But good for the Packers because the exit of Eric Walden very likely nets the Packers a compensatory draft choice. And this isn't something that's guaranteed. If you know the NFL, you know that you have to lose more free agents than you gain in order to get compensatory draft choices. So if the Packers lose Eric Walden but sign Peyton Hillis, you know, those could cancel each other out. So actually, this losing Eric Walden, saying that the Packers maybe didn't even anticipate, or at least the amount of money that he got, very well could have been a situation where, that actually has the Packers not wanting to pursue free agents now. I mean, the Packers are going to want to improve the team. I think that's, you know, and if they think Peyton Hillis is going to improve the team, you know, they'll sign him. But, you know, Greg Jennings could factor into the equation as well. If the Packers were to lose Greg Jennings and Eric Walden and maybe even, say, Brad Jones, that's 3 people that could net the Packers draft choices. They could get 3 draft choices for that. Possibly. And again, the free agents they sign might cancel that out. You know, if they go and sign Steven Jackson, that would cancel one of the signings out. So, it's kind of interesting to see how it'll all play out. There's no guarantees. And the draft choice wouldn't come until 2014, by the way. It wouldn't come this year, so it's actually delayed a year. So there's that, you know, involved as well. Draft choices a year away have less payoff than draft choices this year, or the payoff is delayed at least. So that's why, you know, if the Packers decide Steven Jackson or Peyton Hillis can help them out right now, well, they'll sign them. You know, they'll you know, if they think they can bring the value of a, you know, a six-round draft choice in 2014, which it's very well a guy like Steven Jackson could have that type of value to the Packers easily. Yeah, I can see that happening. So all these things playing out yesterday, just a ton of them. I mean, we could go over a zillion different things that have happened in the past about 24 hours. The Packers restructured Johnny Jolly's contract. They did sign him for near the NFL minimum. I think he did get it just slightly above the NFL minimum. And you know, something kind of expected here, that I don't see any hurt in the Packers trying out Johnny Jolly. You know, seeing what he's got, bringing him into the offseason program, bringing him into training camp. If he shows he's woefully out of shape and just can't do it, well, you cut him and you didn't lose anything, really. What else happened yesterday? The Packers, the restricted free agent tenders are in. Sam Shields got the second rounder, which kind of thought would happen. Evan Dietrich Smith got the original round tender, which was a little bit of a surprise, but not terribly. And then both Rob Francois and Tom Crabtree did not receive tenders at all. And those didn't come as a surprise either. Tom Crabtree and Rob Francois are now unrestricted free agents and can sign with anybody they want. That's a little bit scary. I mean, you'd want both of those guys back, but the Packers aren't going to break the bank to get either one of them back. So it'd be interesting to see how much interest is out there in guys like them. And you know, with the Packers general manager tree, the Ron Wolf general manager tree, a lot of teams out there are, you know, very much know what guys like Tom Crabtree and Rob Francois can bring to a team. You know, you can see John Schneider in Seattle, Reggie McKenzie in Oakland, the new one in Kansas City. You know, those guys know what Tom Crabtree and Rob Francois can bring to a team. Mainly a lot of special teams play, but there's a spot for that. So maybe one of those teams goes after those guys. You know, any team could go after them. You know, I think everybody in favor would be in favor of the Packers bringing Crabtree and Francois back at the right price. You know, signing them to a contract above the NFL minimum, but less than the level of a tender. You know, that's what makes sense to me. That's what makes sense to me, what those guys deserve. You know, it's interesting that both, you know, Sam Shields and Evan Dietrich Smith, they're restricted free agents. They can actually go sign with another team, but with both of those guys, the Packers have the right of first refusal, meaning Sam Shields can sign with another team, Evan Dietrich Smith can sign with another team. The Packers have the right to match it. That's all they got to say is, okay, we'll match that. We'll pay that contract. And that's it. Packers get him back. So there you go. Nick on the live blog says, Kellen Davis was just released by the Bears. Could we get him cheaper than Finley and save some money? And Brad on the live blog says, we do not want Kellen Davis. I'm not really that familiar with Kellen Davis, so there you go. Anyhow, the NFL free agent period, just crazy in this first 24 hour. It's less than 24 hours old. Started at 3 p.m. Central Time yesterday. You know, the story today is to follow what happens with Greg Jennings. Just because he's one of the biggest names out there, you know, something's going to happen with Greg Jennings in the next few days at the very least. You know, he's not going to be on the free agent market long, I don't think. You know, I think something very well could happen by the end of the day with Greg Jennings. So that's the story to follow today. If you want to follow something on Twitter, online, you want to keep Googling Greg Jennings, put him into your RSS feed. But Greg Jennings, something's going to happen, whether it's with the Packers or not, you know, in the next not too long. You know, the next few days at most, if not the next few hours. So Packers could sign Greg Jennings. We'll see. We'll find out. That's going to be the story of the day, I think. So something we'll continue to follow here at Cheesehead TV and everywhere else. Thanks for tuning in today, folks. Had a good stable of folks joining us here on the live blog, tuning into our live stream for some free agency talk here on a Wednesday morning. We'll be back once again on Friday, as always, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Hope to see you then. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kiriva. On behalf of Jamie Jors, we'll see you later, everyone. We'll see you Friday. I leave you today with a song called The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.